We are privileged this morning to have with us Steve Riley. Now, many of you will know Steve and Sally because they visited with us here when they first moved up from California recently. But they live over in Meridian and discovered that we're quite a way away. So they have been with our congregation in Boise at Sojourn of late. But we are excited to have Steve with us. Steve served as assistant to the district superintendent of the South Pacific District. That makes it sound like you were like in Hawaii or something, but
but it didn't happen.
Yeah, no. So at any rate, but Steve served 18 years as the head of for part of that time, the missions mobilization team in the district, and he's going to tell you all about that. We are grateful that you're here today, this morning.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Good morning, Ron.
Blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're doing well anyway. Sometimes we just feel like, man, it was tough to get here this morning, right? But today we're here, and this is like the missions festival, right? Missions festival, and I'm not a missionary, but you've had a pretty good run of having different missionaries in here throughout the year, and you'll have probably some next spring, and I'm just privileged to be able to share with you this morning. So we want to be on mission, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ has done so much for us and brought so much to our lives and redeemed us, brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we want to respond in love of Him to be upon His mission. So today I have one simple point. Let's be on mission. Let's be on mission. I'm not an international worker, or that we call them now, or missionary, but what I have been able to do in my role as assistant superintendent of that South Pacific District is part of that time is to be engaged in visiting teams in different countries of the world. I think about 12 different countries. I won't go through and list those, but multiple times to some of those countries as we developed relationships with those our international partners there. And part of my role was to take pastors and some lay leaders to go visit our international workers and develop relationships and partnerships so that that church would engage in the worldwide work. See, what it really is God has called us, and we'll look at this in the scripture later, God has called us to reach out to the world. And you and I may not be able to do that. But through our missionary partners, our international workers, we're able to have them as our hands and feet in different lands around the world. But we need to partner with them, and we'll look at that. So I've had the privilege to visit some of our workers, but I think it'd be important for me just to share kind of just a little bit of my background of who I am, and trust me, it will relate to what we're talking about in the main theme. So I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, Tacoma, Washington. Billy Graham did a survey back a number of years ago before his crusade, like he always does. He found out that it's only about 6% claimed to be Catholic or Protestant. Think about that. Only 6% of the population would claim to be Catholic or Protestant. That leaves 94% that were, and that doesn't mean that all those 6% were dedicated followers of Jesus, right? I grew up in a non-Christian home, a non-church home, though we had some Judeo-Christian values, and God began to work in my life when I was in high school. I began attending Young Life and Campus Life clubs in the high school. I don't know why, except for maybe there were some cute girls there. I don't know. God uses different ways. So I attended those meetings, and I really didn't understand a lot. The football coach of the high school was the leader for Young Life. He showed a film of a camp up in Canada called Malibu and invited us young people to come up there. And I chose to go, not knowing that it was a college prep week for those who are already believers in Jesus Christ, to prepare them to serve on the college campus. I was the only one in my cabin of 11 that didn't know Jesus. And those other young men began to pray for me. And I'll make this short, but Eric was one of those guys that was praying for me, and he was actually verbally witnessing to me, trying to get me to become a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And I can remember one day, we're standing by the sink in the cabin there, and this is towards the end of the week. And he said, "Well, Steve, do you believe in God?" And by that time, I kind of had come to the conclusion, yeah. I mean, I hadn't thought about God that much before, really. And I said, yeah, I think I do believe in God. And he said, "Well, then you're a Christian." So that was settled. You know, that was easy, right? Some of you are going, "Well, really?" So what happened was I developed some friendships throughout that week. And I went out to walk. I was walking along the sidewalk there at this beautiful camp in Canada. And a girl came up by the name of Chris, and she said, "Hey, Eric told me you have something to tell me." I just shrugged my shoulders. I said, "Eric said you became a Christian." Yeah, no big deal, right? "How did you do that?" I shrugged my shoulders again because I didn't know what to say. She said, "Did you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be your Savior?" How many of you know the word sanctification? How many know if you're a liar, that's not part of sanctification? So I said, yeah, that's what I did. But all of a sudden what happened was the things that God had been teaching through some old guy in the book of Galatians, you know, was teaching us young people, and all that began to make sense. And the things I'd heard in Young Life and campus life throughout the previous year or two began to come together, and I went out into the woods by myself, and I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to come into my life and be my Savior. I say that because it's very important for us, no matter what we're doing. We can be involved in all sorts of good works and good missions in reaching, whether it be the homeless, or we're doing medical work, or doing teaching English, or doing all sorts of things. We need to get to the point of sharing a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of mission work going on, and it never results in the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus. Men and women, we need to make that clear, that we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. So that's why I share my testimony this morning, is because it's important for us to know what kind of mission we're on. I needed to understand that clear presentation of the gospel. I needed to know that the Bible tells us that all have sinned. I needed to know that the wages of sin is death. But I also needed to know that God had demonstrated His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I needed to know that if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, confessing with our mouth that He is Lord, He will save us. We need that presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ when we're on mission. So, here's the deal. I was visiting one country. I won't say the name of it. It's one of those, what we call in the Alliance, creative access countries. And in that country, it's believed that there are about 300 known Jesus followers in all of the nation. Do you know what that means? You would have to go around to almost 35,000 doors, knocking on 35,000 doors, to find someone that could tell you a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus. Okay, so I need some volunteers. Anybody want to volunteer? Hey, in this volunteer, all you have to do is just stand up here. No, you don't have to say anything. No quiz. Okay, come on. All right, I need two more. All right, come on up. Hurry, hurry, quick. One more. We got three people. Okay. This is perfect. This is excellent. I'm so glad you guys come up here this morning. Look, in Nampa, the city of Nampa, this is Wikipedia stats, okay? So I don't know. You guys probably say, you need to update your stuff. But 2010, the city of Nampa was around 81,000 people. Let's say it's grown some and now it's around 100,000 people. These three would be the only believers in all of Nampa with the responsibility not only to live out their Christian life in this context in all of Nampa. They're the only three. They've got to figure it all out by themselves. Who are they going to have to teach them? Who are they going to have to encourage them? And how are they going to share the gospel of Jesus with all the rest of Nampa? All right, thanks, guys. You get it? That's why we're on mission. So in that country where there's only 300 known believers, we have Alliance workers on the field, developing relationships and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Let me give you a little bit of perspective. In 1884. In 1884, five Alliance missionaries went to the Democratic Republic of Congo. One of them died, and four of them returned. In 1885, four new workers re-enter. In 1888 to 1908, 95 missionaries are sent out. These are all Alliance workers. 29 of them die. 49 of them return home. 18 remain. There are, at this point, more missionary graves than there are live missionaries. But they held a meeting. These missionaries that were left and said, is it worth it? Shall we just go home? You and I would probably be asking the same questions, right? Posing the same question, wondering the same thing. Should we be going someplace else? Should we be doing something else? But we need to look at what Jesus has called us to do. And in Matthew chapter 28, I think we're going to have the slide up here. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I command you, that lo, I am with you always. It's a big challenge. It's a big command. It's a big invitation to be involved in what God is doing. Later on, you'll get a little card, or one will be available to you to give you opportunity to be involved in the work of getting the gospel out. And it'll highlight that Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. It'll highlight that we are to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I command you, that I am with you always. Jesus has given us this command to go forth into all of the nations and make disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, of course, these are both post-resurrection appearances, and Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth." See, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses to those right around you who are like you, that you live next door to, that you work with. You're to be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria, those people who are close by you geographically, but they're different than you. They don't do the same things you do. They may not speak the same language you do, but they live in proximity to you. And then Jesus said, you'll receive power to reach to the ends of the earth as well. That's our mandate. That's our calling. Let's go back to that question that was posed by those in the Congo. Should we stay? Well, it was about 1908, 1910 that they had got together and asked that question. And one of the men stood up and said, I refuse to believe that God cannot do here what he's done in other nations of the world. And they chose to stay. And then by 1915, there are 800 Congolese believers. In 1925, there were 4,000. In 1950, there were 23,000 because they had chosen to stay in the midst of difficulty. In 1960, there were 30,000. And of the latest stats that I have, in 2016 stats, there were over 1.5 million Alliance Congolese believers. 1,000 Congolese churches, 170 elementary schools teaching over 100,000 children. There were 30 hospitals and clinics. There are 3 Bible schools. And they had sent out, the Congolese believers had sent out 3 international mission efforts themselves. So in the midst of the difficulty, when there were no believers, and there were a lot of graves, they were asking the question, is it worth it? Should we go forward? I'm glad they chose to go forward. And so those Congolese believers. So how are we doing? How are we doing? How are we as the Alliance doing? Did you grab some of those stats? Now that little video we watched wasn't from the Alliance. But it gripped me in a number of ways. Do you remember the whole figures, I'm not specifically, but the figures about how much is given to World C as opposed to how much is given to World A for missions? It's incredible. How are we in the Alliance doing? What are we doing? And how are we doing? This has, you may not be able to read this, but there's some red shaded areas, and that's where there's no access to the gospel. Green areas, there's high access. Yeah, well, that makes sense. You see North America, South America, yeah, South Africa. So there's high access. Even in China, there's got parts of China, high access to the gospel. And then there's the low access as well. Yeah, so how are we doing? What's the Alliance doing about that? Do you remember how many of the missionaries were sent to World A? What percentage of the world force was sent? Come on, help me out. 3%. Good, Pastor, you got it, man. I'm proud of you. 3%. 80% of our alliance workers are working in World A. That's important because they have no access to the gospel except for what is being brought to them by the church outside. Now, we want to build up the church there so that they can be sustainable in their church. You're going to receive a card, something like this. You get, and in the coming months, you are going to get all sorts of different invitations to give to good causes. What you have to ask yourself is, what's the most strategic way I can give so that those without access to the gospel have access? And I just submit to you, I'd love for you to consider giving to the Great Commission Fund of the Christian Missionary Alliance, because we have 80% of our workers going out into World A, where over 2 billion people have no access to the gospel. And so when you give in this organization, you're giving to an organization that's going where it counts. And also, I should add that we rank right at the top of percentage of where the money is actually going there. You have administrative costs and you have those kind of things, overhead costs, but I feel confident giving, and I feel confident asking you to give, because the money is being used wisely. So, you'll hear more about that in time to come, but I just want to throw that in. In Romans chapter 10, it says, who will call upon the name of the Lord? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him and who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? And so I want to invite you. Some of you, God may be calling to actually go and be a missionary in the sense of crossing culture, crossing language barriers, maybe crossing borders, to go and serve in that kind of way. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Maybe just something about today and some of the things you've heard in just kind of the culmination of how the Rock promotes missions says, you know what? God may be calling me. I'd love to talk to you afterwards. I would love to talk with you. Explore what God may be doing there. God may be stirring in your heart to become involved locally and doing some kind of a work here. Just, you want to get out and do something. And I know Pastor Sean would just love to talk to you about that. And it'd help you engage in some way. As long as we are here, God is calling each of us to serve him. And so he's calling us to serve him as senders, to have a ministry of sending. And what does the ministry of sending look like? I've already heard the word, and I know you guys, many of you here are already involved in that. But let's go to the next slide. You have a ministry. When it means we send them out, what are we going to do? How are we going to partner with them? How are we going to make sure that we send them out well and care for them? And so one of them is partner care, emotionally, spiritually, physical needs. We care for them. We do what is needed to make sure that emotionally they're healthy. I may share a story a little bit later about one individual. But strategic prayer, that we are focused on intercession. You have opportunities here at the Grove to come and be a part of specifically interceding. You can also, it's vital to have the corporate prayer. You can also pray for those as you receive their missionaries. Actually pray for some of the things they write in their newsletter. When you're staying aware, read those newsletters, know what's going on. You may want to, here's a really important thing. If we're going to partner with those we send and make sure they're cared for, is that we read through their newsletters and we see a prayer request they have, jot them a note, just an email, respond and say, hey, I'm praying for you on this area. Did so-and-so come to the meeting? Did they respond to Christ? Do you know how encouraging that is to our international workers? If they have somebody actually respond to one of their newsletters, it's incredible because they send out hundreds and sometimes they never get a response. They need to know that we are praying. It will encourage them. It will strengthen them. It'll give them gas in the tank to go out the next day. And then doing our share, focusing, we can do the financial resourcing, and that's part of what we were talking about with the faith promise. Let me just say a quick word about faith promise. In the Alliance, what we do is we ask you to fill out a card each year, and you write down an amount that you're trusting God to give through you above and beyond your tithe to your local church. Let me say that again. We're asking you to pray about what God might channel through you to the international work above and beyond your tithe to the local church. You fill out the card, nobody's going to come, and I don't think so. Or you don't come each month and ask Pastor Sean that. No, I didn't think so. They're not going to ask you. It's just put it down in writing. It helps some strategically for the Alliance to know what people are trusting God for that way. And then I'd challenge you at the end of the year, as you have given, to see what God has done in that area. Sometimes there are short-term trips we can go on, and well, maybe not so much these days, right? It's a little bit harder to do that these days. But I'd love to share with you some stories, but I think the time is just about going. So I'm going to share with you one. Here's one creative outreach event that some of our international workers did in the city of Berlin. And they had what they called a Lego luncheon. Wouldn't that be fun? Have Lego, play with Legos while you eat? No. So what they did is they had this church building. It was a fabulous location. They would roll out the carpets. This would be on a Sunday morning because they were just building the church. So some Sundays they'd have a regular service like we might have here at The Rock on a weekly basis. And then sometimes they would have different events. And one Sunday of the month, they would roll out the carpets on the floor. They would bring out the big tubs of Legos. They'd have some tables set up. There would be a place for them to have some people to bring some refreshments and so forth, and some would be provided. They'd have like cafe-style tables set up there, and the adults would sit around talking while the children, some adults participated in the Legos, but most of the children were doing their Legos. They would build something. And sometimes they'd have a theme, and the kids would bring, they'd share it with the pastor after it was all over. All this time, conversation is going on among, and different team members are planted. They're developing relationships with the people who have, the parents who have come, and then at the end, after the kids have all shared their thing, then the Sunday I was there, one of our missionaries shared a Bible lesson at the kids' level where all those adults back there could understand it. Huh? And they would do this on a regular basis and build relationships, build community with those who did not yet know Jesus Christ. And then there would be opportunity for them to share Jesus Christ at just the right time. That's probably something you can do here, but it's creative things our team is doing. Oh, and by the way, in Eastern Berlin, where they were at, just like France that I shared with the men yesterday, one half of 1% are Jesus followers. As one of our missionaries said, the politicians a number of years ago did all they could to wipe out Christianity, and they did a pretty good job. But our workers are there, and they're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's making a difference. Hey, there are a whole lot more stories I'd like to share, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to conclude here and ask you, in response to what you've heard today, will you be on mission? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence today, and thank you that you loved us so much that you brought us into your family, and we long to have others join the family. And Lord, may you use us in whatever way you choose to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have yet to hear, here in Nampa, and to the remotest part of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.